Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here's Campbell. It's a tale as old as time, Lou. I mean, he's just in between, and he knows they're pounding him in. He's having a hard time laying off that 2-2. Swing and a miss. He could not hold up.
You don't read into too much, right? But he hasn't played second in three days.
Yep.
It's been David Hamilton out there, Abreu. He's been center field today. Abreu is coming back. It's not like he's your everyday second baseman. He hasn't been out there.
Well, he just did something he never does. He just slammed his helmet, threw it under the back wall. The Red Sox dugout. Here's Connor Wong, who takes the ball low. I mean, it's not easy. He's in a huge rut, and you know he's just scrambled up top.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe. We're taking you up until 2 on a Friday. We got the weekend review coming your way about 45 minutes from now, 12:45 every Friday. It's also Top 5 Friday, Friday 4-pack. If you missed either of those, it's on the Audacy app, Audacy. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Now, we had more discussion about Christian Campbell penciled in here earlier today, Keith. He's
That's right.
been demoted by the Boston Red Sox. They may have already ruined him. Although you and I less fearful of that, I think, than some. But you have to wonder how they're developing players and whether or not they're doing the right things. And I'll be honest, some of that discussion is covered in this new Jeff Passan piece on Rafael Devers. We've been reading you little nuggets from it here over the last half hour or so from when it first came out. I know Carrabas feels like it's a hit piece on Rafael Devers.
I don't know if it is. I mean, this just might be the case. This just might be how Rafael Devers dealt with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you think Passan's making stuff up.
Well, and again,
which I don't.
A hit piece would mean all this stuff came out of nowhere and we knew none of it.
We've been talking about this off and on for months.
Right. Terry Francona, you know.
Oh, yeah, that was a bit much.
Being addicted to pills all of a sudden kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's a hit piece. Telling us all the details about how Rafael Devers didn't want to play the field.
Yeah, we
didn't
know that
initially want to go to DH and then didn't want to play the field. We kind of knew all that in real time. Hell, Devers said it on the record through a translator, but he said it on the record.
That's what's kind of unique about this one compared to some of the other stories when guys have left town or whatever is even if you remove all of the quote-unquote reported sources and all that stuff, just the press conferences from Rafael Devers, take those. And then some of the answers, the public answers by Cora or Breslow or Kennedy on this very station. If you just listen to that, I think you could form your own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then let alone you got guys like Passan kind of filling in some of the holes.
So I'm reading over Passan, and we can start and stop as we go here, Keith. He says, Devers, according to a person familiar with his thinking, felt lied to and betrayed by the Red Sox.
We've been talking about that for months.
Cora, long one of Devers' chief supporters and advocates, supported his expulsion. I read that detail earlier.
Yep.
Good. I'm happy that's somewhere in print. Cora's on board. Craig Breslow, the Red Sox chief baseball officer, whom Devers publicly badmouthed amid the hostility.
Also, we heard that firsthand.
He played hatchet man.
Yeah.
Red Sox ownership, which at first wanted to mend the relationship between the parties, knowing that 2 years earlier it guaranteed him $313.5 million to play a central role in the forthcoming resurgence, lost faith. They greenlit the deal. Also know that. Ownership is going to sign off on something
fairly
of this
obvious.
Magnitude.
And also, wouldn't you say they clearly wanted him at one point, and even if they were sort of bullied into it.
There's more on that, but yeah. Did they want him or were they bullied into it? It was more the second thing, yeah.
Yeah, right, but they did give him a contract worth over $300 million. And maybe people feel differently, but I don't believe they thought, all right, in a year and a half, we'll trade him.
Just like that.
I didn't think so.
Just like that, Devers was gone. Passan writes. He continues. Devers represented an opportunity for the Red Sox to illustrate they remain dedicated now as much as the future. This is when they signed him after Bogarts left and they traded away Betts.
Well, it made sense because you had these top prospects all coming up through the system and you're like, you don't want to just rip away all of the all-star caliber players from your major league roster. So they did commit to him, again, because they didn't to Mookie Betts. So they felt like, all right, we have an all-star guy.
Got to do this right. Then, by the way, I supported at the time. I wanted them to sign Devers over Bogarts.
Yeah, he's the better player.
I mean, I guess I was half right on that. I was right about the Bogarts part, maybe less so about the Devers part. Passan says, making moves to mollify restless fans is a hallmark of bad organizations. Red Sox specialize in that.
Yes, they do.
But with declining viewership on Nesson and empty seats at Fenway, ownership pushed to lock up Devers long-term. Multiple high-ranking officials in baseball ops, now remember, that's not Breslow, opposed the idea. They were overruled. And in January 2023, Devers agreed to a 10-year, $313.5 million extension that would begin in 2024. Largest commitment in franchise history. Executives around the game, this is interesting, questioned the wisdom of the deal. Yes, Devers had grown into a consistently excellent hitter. From 2019 to 22, his OPS plus ranked 25th among 247 players. Cool.
All right, so he's a top 25
top
in OPS plus.
Top 25 stick in OPS
Doesn't
plus.
Doesn't sound like a Hall of Famer to me, but okay.
And sure, in a market like Boston where fandom is religion, placating the masses matters, but the question in their minds, meaning other executives, outweighed those factors. How soon would Devers need to move off third base, where he was a below-average defender? Would his body, always squatty...
Below-average is kind.
Yeah, it is. His body, always squatty, Passan writes.
A little squatty. Yeah, a little squatty.
How often did long-term contracts for one-dimensional players work out? Just because it was a deal that needed to happen didn't make it a good one. So this goes back to exactly what you asked Bradford yesterday.
Yeah.
Is Devers a good contract? No. Most of baseball feels like it's terrible, which is why there was only one real taker.
Yeah, because I was wondering about that, because going back to Mookie Betts, because we've had to compare the two so many times, you're like, all right, you didn't get as much for him because he only had 1 year left. And now it's like, well, you didn't get as much for Devers because he has so many years left. You're like, well, what the hell is it supposed to be? How many years? Like, what's the sweet spot? If you had three more years of Devers, maybe then you'd actually get a good return. And also, the contracts are going up and up. We just saw two guys, signed for over $700 million.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants owe Devers less than $300. So, like, it's that bad of a contract? Like, next, it's weird. Like, the next year, it's like 29, 31. But then it levels out at like $28.5 million. Is that crazy? Even for a DH, even if he's just a DH. And he, like,
I get your point, but I'm telling you, based on Passan's reporting,
okay.
Yes, they think it's a bad deal.
So they do. Which, I guess, speaks a little bit better to Breslow. I know fans don't want to hear it, but maybe there really weren't a lot of deals for Devers. People love Devers here, but how many other teams really wanted him? And
go back to the Giants owner the other day also saying, well, yeah, the deal wouldn't get done if we didn't pick up the whole contract, and I had to call John Henry because they were asking for too much. I had to get them to lower their asking price. That might just be an owner taking credit, because all these owners want credit for everything, even though all they do is write checks. But if we take it at face value, the driving force was the contract once they decided. I don't think that was a driving force in trading him, but once they decided to trade him, I do think it was a driving force. It was the main factor. Let's go back to when they signed Bregman. Ready? This is the initial bit of rage from Devers. And I think there's some bad looks for Devers in here. Maybe this is what Karabas is talking about with a happy hit piece
Friday.
Well,
it's not going to be all good stuff for Devers. That's why he's gone.
Correct.
Yeah.
And look, just because, I mean, everybody loves the hit pieces on Breslow. F you, Brez, you effing stiff. Yeah. That's a hit piece on Breslow.
Yeah.
And people are fine with those kind of hit pieces. They're true. The AI interviews,
well,
that's
even
true.
Even, like,
those are hit pieces. Just FYI.
The June Lee report people have latched onto, and they're like, oh, that's bad for Devers. I'm like, that's the whole Red Sox organization.
So, like, no.
It's actually more so Red Sox organization. I think the headline of that was like, what a bleep show it is there.
A lot of this is covered in here.
Anyway,
ready?
Yeah.
So when the prospect of Bregman going to Boston first surfaced, Breslow assured Devers' camp nothing serious was afoot. That's wrong of Breslow. Okay?
No, we know that they lied to him. He has the right to be mad.
But who lied to him? We get some answers on this. So initially, Breslow lied to Devers' camp. He assured his camp nothing serious was afoot, and that if it were, he would let Devers know. Okay?
Okay.
Cora wanted to meet with Devers in the Dominican Republic during the offseason, but Devers didn't respond to messages.
Well, Ortiz knows what that's all about.
Which was not entirely surprising. He typically goes off the grid on his winter treat to Samana in
I
the
respect
Dominican
that.
Republic.
I do. We're all on our phones Gotta way unplug. Too much. Get off your phone. Gotta Get off unplug. The device. Phones yeah. are killing everybody.
But, you know, it's hard to be upset that they weren't informing you when you're not answering your phone.
It's also true.
It disappointed some in the organization. Though the Red Sox were simultaneously pursuing Bregman and Nolan Arenado, there wasn't enough confidence in a deal being consummated with either to flag Devers. Okay?
But this is also funny because Breslow at the time, we feel like, didn't really even want those guys.
Also true.
So maybe he was telling Devers' camp one thing because he was also kind of hoping.
He's like, I don't even want him.
Yeah.
Then Boston made its final offer to Bregman with other teams and their negotiations winding down. It was 3 years, 120 with opt-outs after 2 years. Within an hour, Bregman accepted. Devers found out when the news broke, and he was not panicked. Red Sox officials said privately they planned on using Bregman at second base. That's another bad thing from the Red Sox.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, the Red Sox didn't do a great job here.
But the move registered as curious nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Then Devers showed up at spring training, and the team broached the idea of him shifting to DH. Their computer models.
Yeah, of course.
Because, of course, they're projecting everything
there. You
should
be the designated hitter.
Said the best version of the 2025 Red Sox would feature the reigning minor league player of the year, Christian Campbell, at second, Bregman at third, and Devers at DH. Devers was livid. A player's position is part of his identity. He was a third baseman. Not a very good one.
It's part of his identity. However, most of the major leaguers now change positions.
Yeah.
So are you saying they all change their identity? Then fine, but
A-Rod,
they do.
A-Rod might be the most selfish player of all time. His identity was shortstop. He moved to third.
Right.
Beyond that, though, was a breach in the trust implicit in the contract of Devers' magnitude. At the very least, if the Red Sox were intent on him moving positions, he wanted to ease into the new role, play a couple of times at third, take the rest of his at-bats at DH. No, he was told this was best for the team. So honestly, that is fair from Devers.
I think it's dumb, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, Bregman's a Gold Glove third baseman. Why are we going to take him off of third
base?
But
could you give Devers a day, Bregman a day off and be like, Devers, you're playing third? Like something like that? Like, is there a way to keep Devers in action at third and even at first before just saying, hey, lose your glove, which Cora told him. We'll get to it. We knew that.
At the start of the season when Bregman and Casas were both healthy, I did not want Devers in the field.
I didn't either, but if Devers was willing to meet him halfway, I at least think that's fair. I'll give him that.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
The front office's track record, the front office's tack reinforced the feeling in the clubhouse that the organization's reliance on analytics for decision-making had come at the expense of a productive interpersonal communication. But at the same time, players acknowledged Devers' DHing probably would allow them to field their best lineup.
Yes.
After initially saying he wouldn't DH, Devers wound up relenting. Cora told him to not even bother bringing a glove to the spring training fields. He was comfortable that at least he could focus only on hitting. So Cora lied to him about that, just that way.
Yeah.
That wasn't all Breslow lying to him. That's Cora. But even though they're overly reliant on the computer models, which is true, all the players on the team, it says here, were like, yeah, we're better if Devers is at DH.
They are better. Well, they were better, right? I know it gets going into what happened in the season, and you both corner infielders get hurt, one of them out for the whole season. But I've maintained the same stance on this the whole time. They did lie to Devers. That was a mistake. He had every right to be pissy and have the press conference and handle it the way that he did. I get it. He felt like he was lied to. He's pissed off. At the end of the day, you make $300 million to play baseball. They want you to be the DH, which is really the only good thing that you do anyway. You've been a bad third baseman, the worst third baseman, in fact, in all of baseball. This isn't like an average third baseman being like, wait a minute, you're taking my position? No, you're the worst. You've had year after year after year to improve in the field. You never did. And now they went out and got somebody. You wanted the team to improve 2 years ago. They finally did, but you didn't like the position that they did. So you felt lied to. You're mad. But now you're taking out all of your anger at Breslow, Cora, maybe even higher up, on the rest of your teammates,
right,
who each and every one of those guys already has moved positions.
By the way, Twitch chat. Oh, that's a couple of lies from the front office and another one from Cora. I mean,
yeah, they're not doing a great job.
Fine. They were misleading to him for sure about the Bregman pursuit. They lied to him about the Bregman pursuit. Did they lie to him about not needing a glove, or did a bunch of injuries happen and they needed him? Everything changed.
Things did change.
Everything changed May 2nd, writes Passan. First baseman Tristan Casas suffered a season-ending injury. The internal options were limited. Breslow approached Devers about moving to first, and Devers couldn't believe it. Like, again, what an a-hole.
Well, he's just clueless.
Somebody got hurt, and the GM says, hey, would you mind playing first? And he's, like, livid about it. He had already changed positions, quote unquote.
I mean, not really.
Against his will once. Now the Red Sox were asking him to do it again. The disrespect galled him.
I mean, this guy's a...
Galled him.
Yeah.
So a player got hurt. The team's like, hey, can you help out? And it galled him.
Yeah.
The team didn't believe the ask was too much.
It's not.
I like this. They had, you know, this is coming from the organization. They hadn't asked him to be a clubhouse leader, a role which he wasn't particularly well suited for.
Oh, it's terrible at that.
They didn't belabor his fitness or weakness in the field. they are ripping him.
Yeah.
This is what the money was for. To play where the team needed him to play and keep rating him like one of the best hitters in the world. That's your point.
Yeah.
You have this giant contract. You're making the same money either way. Part of the reason we gave you the contract, the implication is, hey, when we ask you to do something, do it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even ask you to do that much. You're not in shape. We don't ask you to get in shape.
Nope.
We don't ask you to do any team functions or anything like that. We don't ask you to be a team leader. The least you can do is get your ass out to first base when our first baseman gets hurt.
You don't even have to talk after games. That's another thing in the story. Like, he wouldn't talk after games. They were like, you know, Neston would want to do interviews with players that right after the game when they would win. He would wave them off every single time. So they were getting annoyed by that. There's a lot of little things kind of adding up there. But, no, that's the thing, because it goes back to he feels like he was lied to and also disrespected. You have the biggest contract in Red Sox franchise history.
And most of baseball was like, they couldn't believe they gave it to him. Most of baseball is like, wow, you're not only do you have the biggest contract, the rest of the sport thinks you're wildly overpaid.
Yes. In fact, you were available and nobody really wanted you for that contract.
You can't
except for the
be bothered to get your ass to first base. A little bit more here quick. His refusal to play first, though, coalesced ownership, the front office, and the coaching staff. So they all got on the same page. They're like, this a-hole.
Yep.
If they were going to build the sort of winning culture that permeated the organization throughout the 2000s and 2010s, what sort of message did it send that the team's best player, quote unquote, refused to do what they felt was best for the team? After Devers told the media he would not play first, Henry, Kennedy, Breslow all flew to Kansas City, where Boston was playing to speak with Devers. He met again with Henry for breakfast the next day, according to a source. I don't know.
Omelet bar, hopefully. Love an omelet bar.
Who chewed John's food for? He met again with Henry. So Henry flew out. They met again the next day for breakfast.
Nice.
According to a source.
Pretty fancy.
Devers indicated he would prepare to play the position. Oh, good.
Oh, we got a breakthrough.
... in 2026.
So dumb. If
the team wanted him to move there full time. While publicly the Red Sox deemed the meetings productive, they knew what was happening next. Rafael Devers was getting traded. Public consequences be damned. So passing is passing on. No pun intended.
Yeah.
What we all thought. When Henry went to meet with him, it was a last ditch. When Devers spit in his face, metaphorically, they were done with him.
Yeah.
And I think we all knew
working
that.
On a trade probably after that.
He said he'd play first base in 2026. Just in time for Casas to get healthy. He'll waddle out there to first base.
So Casas, who defended Devers in spring training and said Devers should be the third baseman and Bregman should be the second baseman, Devers said, I'll take his job next year. That's basically what he said. Like, I do that. It's like, okay, great. So we have an injured first and third baseman, and our DH says he'll play first base next year. Awesome. Awesome. Because I don't think and people hear what they want to hear, and people are dug in on like which side they think is right.
Yeah,
I think you have to admit that everybody screwed up.
I'd acknowledge I'm dug in.
Oh, I'm dug in, too.
And
Devers is a baby and a horrible teammate, and I'm glad he's gone.
Everybody screwed up. Who screwed up worse?
Devers. Devers, because he's letting his whole team down. Right, like I get being pissed off at those guys in front of you, but they didn't mess with your playing time. You're not in and out of the lineup. You're hitting second in the lineup every single night. You were the DH, which really was maximizing your skill set. And then because of two injuries, they asked you to pick up a glove. And I also maintain he wouldn't have played 100 games at first base. He probably would have played 2 or 3 times a week is my guess. And then they'd be like, oh, all right, Romy's in there against lefties or whatever. Like, they would use first base. They would use DH. They'd be more flexible, which
Agreed.
Is what they were looking for.
And also, if he went out there and was a disaster, I think they would say, Rafi, good job. You tried. I mean, the fans might rip him, and we might rip him. But internally,
I wouldn't because I was consistent on this, too. He's trash third baseman. Might.
Depending on how bad he was at first, I might.
But
I'll
thought
be
he would be bad
that.
At first. But I'm like, at least you tried. Then, like, the whole terrible teammate thing is out the window.
Well,
now
sure.
It's like you're a terrible fielder, which we already knew.
So that's fair. I would rip him for being a terrible fielder, but no longer could you rip him for being a terrible teammate. He went out there and did it. And so, and I think
like Kyle Schwarber playing first. It
might
have looked like that, but you're like, all right, he's out there, and look at, we all love him.
And Schwarber even had some fun with it.
He did.
In real time.
Yeah.
So, no, I think internally he would have been supported to do that. The best he could get was, in 2026, I'll play first base, which does nobody on this team current team, 2025, any good?
No.
So there's a lot more in there from Jeff Passan. We'll continue to work our way through it with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. What do you think of the latest revelations in this story? We can also get back to Christian Campbell getting sent down to AAA. We also have the Week in Review on the way at 1245, so stay tuned.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What do you think it'll be like to see him and play against him for the first time?
Obviously different, and so recent, right? But, he's going to do everything possible to kick our ass, and we're going to do everything possible to do the same. So that's the business of it. Right? So the only thing is that he's so recent that he's going to feel awkward, but I think both teams have a job to do, and it's play the game and try to win it.
Rafael Devers actually going to do everything possible to kick the Red Sox ass, according to Alex Cora a couple of days ago. He faces the Red Sox tonight in San Francisco. You can catch it here on WEEI. He's probably going to grab a glove in this series, Keith. Like, that's legitimately doing everything he can to twist the knife.
That is pretty exciting. Yeah, because we were asking earlier, I think it was the Greg Hill Show's poll question today. It was like, should they throw at Devers? And we're like, I don't even think they care enough to throw at Devers.
Right.
But somebody pointed out on the text line, it's like, if he's playing first base tonight, that might speed that up a little
There's
bit.
There's more merit
like,
to do it.
Come on, dude. Right. Really? But
I told them I was going to do it in 2026.
He'll do whatever. He's a real team first player. He always has been.
What's more likely, Keith? Yes. And I know you already handed out the Sportsbook Rhode Island pick of the week.
Yep.
What's more likely, Devers' home run this weekend or Devers' error, assuming he plays first?
So I'm going to say I don't think he plays first, or he does one game.
Okay.
So he's going to hit for three, so I think he's better chance of hitting a home run. He's going to be very motivated there.
More volume, more opportunity.
Yeah, I think he's
going to have
more chances.
Probably fair.
Yeah.
We're reading here from, I like the title on this, Absolutely Botched, How the Red Sox-Devers Breakup Got So Messy by Jeff Passan. Yeah. He gave you a ton of details on, well, how the Red Sox told him there was nothing to worry about with Alex Bregman, and even initially they were like, you're at third, Bregman's at second. Then they adjusted that, asked him to move to DH. He finally did. That's after blowing off Alex Cora in the Dominican Republic and not answering his phone calls to meet and sit down with him, which is the second time we've heard that. Then when Cassis got hurt, they reapproached him and he was quote-unquote galled.
Yeah.
He met with John Henry in Kansas City, not just the initial meeting, but had breakfast with him again the next day. That's how much Henry tried to break through. And Devers said, no, not this year. I'll do it in 2026.
So the people that are pro Devers, and you're reading some of it on the text line or on Twitter or whatever, they're like, well, they signed a guy that plays his position. So you didn't want Bregman then?
Right.
Like, you wouldn't have taken Alex Bregman? And also, it's one thing for that to be your position. It's another thing when you are the actual worst at it. Like, whoever the worst second baseman in the majors is, I don't even know who it is, over the last 7 years, whoever the worst defensive second baseman is, if that team signed a better second baseman, what, he should just keep that job and never move off of it?
Yeah, of course, definitely.
So, like, that part's crazy. Also, if it was, you know, football and they could mess around with his money, that's another thing. That's another different variable that isn't in baseball. He's getting paid the exact same amount. So they're just trying to make their team better. So I also feel like, all right, you can be pissed in the moment, but then do you still support every decision Devers made after the fact? You feel like he was right to be like, I'll never play the field again, and like, I'm only going to I didn't even want a DH, but now I'm just a DH, and I'm not going to do that. If you support that, then so be it. I don't really know what to tell you, but I feel like he was a...
Well, I'd tell you you're crazy is what I would tell you, but if you support it, you support it.
I mean, I feel like it's all been mapped out, and there's just more and more details coming out that I agree. It doesn't make Breslow and Cora look like a well-run operation at all, but it doesn't make Devers look like a good teammate in any sense, and he's fine that they traded him.
He's a lousy teammate.
Yeah.
Lousy teammate. I don't know how he is as a guy off the field. I said before, I'd rather hang out with him than Breslow.
Yeah.
But as a teammate, lousy teammate. Let's keep working our way through this passing piece. Early in Breslow's tenure as chief baseball officer, he hired a consulting firm called Sportsology Group.
Nice.
Sounds like a fake website.
It does sound
fake. Sounds like a fake company.
Maybe
Sportsology?
He got catfished. Maybe it's not really a company. He's like, this sounded good.
It's just all bots. Just bots. It's just a bots company.
A bot farm.
A consulting firm called Sportsology Group to assess Boston's baseball operations department. This was the the internal review that went down a few years ago that was well publicized. I didn't recognize the name, but maybe that's been reported before. The wide-ranging evaluation was something out of Office Space.
Nice.
An attempt to cut the fat.
Yeah, bring the bobs in.
Accumulated while Boston cycled through heads of baseball ops. Ben Cherington took over from Theo in 2011. He won a World Series in 2013. 2 years later, the Red Sox hired Dombrowski over him. 10 months after that, Dombrowski won a World Series. He was fired and replaced by Bloom, who lasted 4 years.
Did not win a World Series.
Also, did he last a full 4 years? I guess he came in. When did he start? Did he start in season in replacement of Dombrowski, or did he wait the next year? Because
did he do the 2020 COVID year?
I can't remember.
He might have gotten
So he got four full years. I didn't even think it was that long. An objective assessment would note that perhaps the problems originated with organizational instability. I'm happy Passan makes this point. This has been my point all along. People are like, fire Breslow. I'm like, these problems go so far beyond Breslow, it's not funny. The Red Sox had grown bloated, in part at least because they so often made changes. Regardless of how it came to be, the recommendations included the elimination of jobs across multiple departments. Around 50 people were fired last year, sources said. So there's a lot of sour grapes. There's a lot of people ready to kick and scream at Breslow, and I think you're getting an idea of where some of these hit pieces at Breslow are coming from. Everybody identifies the hit pieces towards Devers, like Carrabba's today.
Mm-hmm.
This is some shots at Devers and the organization trying to set the record straight. There's a lot of it going at Breslow, and if they fired 50 people, I'd start with some of those names as sources, for instance, with Jun Lee. The professional scouting department was gutted. Some of the positions wound up being filled, but it was clear to those who stayed and went, this was Breslow's team, and now he would remake it in his image.
Scary.
Okay, well...
just robots in every position.
I mean, on some level, I get that. That is
scary. Yeah, yeah.
But on another, it's like, if you're picking the guy to run baseball ops, let him do it.
Yeah, right.
Why should he have a bunch of Bloom's guys mixed with Dombrowski's guys?
No, it doesn't make sense.
Like, bring in your guy. Like, I actually think that's the right approach.
But can he hire his manager?
No, he's not allowed to do that.
No, he can't do that.
Don't get crazy. Can't hire his own manager.
All right, fair enough.
Since the cuts, Breslow's circle of trust has been small. We've heard this elsewhere. And his reliance on the team's analytical model is heavy, according to sources, leaving some longtime employees embittered. Well, right.
The
guy Moshi, who called him a stiff and who had been here since, 97 and been in baseball since...
2012, I think, right?
No, 17. 2017, yeah, sorry. Yeah. And been in the big since the early 1980s? Like, yeah, I imagine he probably doesn't like the analytical models, according to sources, leaving some longtime employees embittered. Breslow loyalists feared consequences of that, with one saying there are definitely turncoats internally plotting against Brez.
Awesome. So everybody's working in the same direction.
Yeah.
So basically the clubhouse, you think, the front office, all the same.
I mean, Cora's leading that charge.
Yeah, probably.
There's one main turncoat, I would say.
Well,
but there's a lot of people. They fired 50 people last year, according to Passan. So, yeah, there's a lot of places. There were a lot of people with dirt and an agenda against Breslau. And they might be right, but they have an obvious agenda against
them. Well, that's also why, you know, the results over the next month or so on the field are going to be really important. Because right now, believe it or not, they are a wild card team. So if they remain in playoff contention, maybe this is as ugly as it gets publicly. And you kind of, like, you have this Devers storm that everyone's dealing with. You play them this weekend, and then you kind of move on. If they kind of fall out of it, there's going to be way more finger-pointing going on.
Oh,
I
think
it could get real ugly this summer if the team is, like, you know, 5-6 games out of the wild card.
They actually picked up ground in the— I didn't realize that. They actually picked up ground in the wild card last night by not playing.
Awesome.
Good for them.
Yep.
The Devers trade only heightened the Palace intrigue. Front office officials from other teams mostly lauded the deal for Boston, which is this echo— and Passan is a co-worker of Buster Olney.
Yeah, I still think this is strange.
This echoes what Olney said. Front office officials mostly lauded the deal for Boston, looking at San Francisco's willingness to take on the $254 million over the next 8-plus seasons as a win for the Red Sox. Again, they laud it because of the contract, not the return.
Right.
But models exist to strip the emotion out of decision-making and use decades of history and dozens of other inputs about a player's skills gleaned from the cameras that track their every move to objectively analyze. There's no accounting for a fan base's adoration of a player. Quote, Boston absolutely botched this entire Devers situation, one rival official said, and somehow it all resulted in them getting to dump what was both an underwater contract and a distraction while also getting a bunch of value back in return. It was like, oops, we overpaid for a decade of our bat-only star, pissed him off publicly, and then continued to bungle every subsequent opportunity to get things right. Why don't you give us a controllable mid-rotation starter and your first-round pick from last year and help us get out of it? At the same time, a rival general manager said, these are the Boston effing Red Sox. You don't trade your stars. So one says they bungled it, but they wound up failing upwards because they dumped the contract. Another one says, keep your stars. You're the Red Sox.
Well, trading your stars, so it's, to me, a little bit different. Like, Mookie Betts is a true star. He's a superstar in every sense of the word. Rafael Devers doesn't want to talk to the media, doesn't want to talk to anybody post-game, is a bad teammate, won't change positions. So, like, is he really a star? Mookie Betts is MVP of the league. Devers is not. He's a far cry from that. So I think that's a little bit different, but I get their overall point. This, like, the big win, according to other rival execs, is you got out of a bad contract. As a fan of the Red Sox, who I already think they should be spending more money on their team, I can't look at it as a win because you got rid of the contract. I'm more happy you got rid of the bad teammate, you had a little bit more flexibility and all that, but I'm saying you needed to add more to the group. Like, you just, you basically, in the week it's been, you just cut Devers. For us, we shouldn't really care about how much money is being spent other than there should be more of it spent. You cut him, you added an injured guy and a bunch of minor leaguers. So you're like, you didn't add to the team yet.
And I don't like referring to my guy Kyle Harrison as a mid-rotation controllable starter.
So
I don't like that.
Yeah, so he's Hunter Dobbins.
Right.
Like, you got a Hunter Dobbins and then whatever the hell Jordan Hicks is and then, like, two projects.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, even though it would be a separate move, to make this move, you know, easier for the fan base to wrap their heads around.
They got to make trades.
Yeah. In the next month, bring in some guys.
From the farm system.
Yes.
You just replenish the system. You got a couple of prospects that you like from the Giants. Harrison's not a prospect anymore.
They need more major leaguers now.
But Harrison, a couple of years ago, was a bigger prospect than Anthony. You know? And so, just to give you some context on it, they replenish their youth. So trade from that pool of prospects. Trade some you don't like.
Yeah, right.
And go get some big league help, right-handed bat, or in the rotation. I'll try to speed through the rest of this because we have week in review coming up. Breslau's investment in his process is wholesale. He believes, regardless of the opinion of outsiders or adversaries within, he's the right person with the right plan to turn the Red Sox into champions again. I will do it again.
Yeah.
He knows that the return for a player with more than $250 million owed will not add up to the quality of player independent of his contract, that the savings are regarded as an asset every bit as important as Harrison or Tibbs. That's to Henry, not to the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
With Boston's fans frothing to consume any nugget that reinforces their belief in Breslau's incompetence, I do feel like people are doing that.
Yeah.
To my guy, Brez.
Yeah.
The discussion around the Devers deal has devolved into falsehoods taking root. There are small ones like Devers being mad at Campbell for volunteering to play first base. He wasn't, multiple sources said. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
So June Lee,
that would be insane if he was.
So June Lee got that wrong.
So maybe that's wrong.
According to Jeff Passan.
All right.
Multiple sources said he wasn't upset about that. And bigger ones, like the report claiming that a person who interviewed with the Red Sox for a baseball operations job went through five rounds of AI-only questions. That's another incorrect June Lee falsehood.
Oh, boy.
According to Jeff Passan. The team was concerned enough to release a statement Wednesday night, shooting down the report. Three sources familiar with it, blah, 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 blah. They use the company HireVue, which uses AI to ask questions and record a video. Other organizations around baseball use the same software, according to Passan. Even so, the acknowledgement that it could be true speaks to the state of the Red Sox. The day after the trade, when Breslow and Kennedy held media availability, they acknowledged their flaws in the process, particularly Breslow needing to better communicate with his players.
So June Lee, the things that jumped out in that story, there was probably three, and two of them are wrong.
According to Passan. I mean, June Lee says they're true. Passan says they're not.
He was the first that we read about.
I would tend to give Passan the benefit of the doubt.
That's what I'm saying.
He's the big-time insider.
But, like, the scout that got fired for leaving his Zoom on, we first heard about it with June Lee. Buster only wrote about it. Passan had
the same detail. Good point.
So that one seems to be confirmed
as being true, yeah.
So the Devers being mad about Campbell, because that jumped out as like a holy crap.
I mean, that makes him a really bad,
next level.
Not just a selfish teammate, but now you're actually lashing out at players for trying to help the team.
Yeah. So maybe that's not true.
Maybe the five rounds aren't true. So it's not just the Devers side, it's the Breslow side in that June Lee story. So who knows?
I don't know. But like even we talked about the AI thing a lot this week, and it was kind of funny, but it's also, all right, what about Devers? Like, right? We're talking more about this guy first. This sort of seems like encompassing because everyone's talking about like the whole setup.
Well, and it's all about their communication. Like,
Devers had
a problem with their communication.
But we already knew the communication was bad. Whether or not interviewing for a random job over there, you have to talk to a robot. Like, we already knew they didn't speak to each other very well.
No, that's true. So interesting stuff from Jeff Passan. I wouldn't say there's a ton of like earth-shattering information in there, but there's a bunch of interesting nuggets.
Yeah.
Including that one that, again, multiple sources say Devers wasn't pissed at Campbell, which I guess I would hope not. I'd still trade Devers either way, but that'd really be knifing a teammate in the back, beyond just being selfish, really knifing a teammate in the back, which is what some believe the Red Sox are now doing to Devers. Certainly, members or ex-members of the organization are doing to Breslow. As Jeff Passan put it, there is some real palace intrigue going on. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. We'll get to the Week in Review next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, You can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Catch, he's like, get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw!
Go.
Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst.
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keith's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Wow, what a week it has been here, Jones, as we look to recap it here. Let's start out on Monday. Let's go in order of the week.
Okay.
These were some early brags. We do have a brag of the week, so stay tuned for that. These were some early...
Oh, these are like...
Early submissions.
Honorable mentions.
Yeah, that's right. From callers earlier in the week.
I pulled it all night, guys.
Sick brag, bro.
Comes from someone who coaches and has been around baseball a while.
Sick brag, bro.
I watch the Red Sox every night. I listen every night.
Sick brag, bro.
Talked about this with Bradford last night.
Sick brag, bro.
This is actually Brennan, but you're all good.
Sick brag, bro.
So, yeah, I don't have, like, a source or anything.
Sick brag, bro.
Now, I go back a lot of years. I'm probably one of your older callers.
No.
Sick brag, bro.
I'm watching them last night.
Sick brag, bro.
A lot of good choices there.
What, generically, what's your favorite type of brag? Like, specifically, my favorite one in there was, I talked to Bradford about this last night.
That's the good one. I like when people say how old they are, because, like, nobody asks.
Yeah. And I watch the Red Sox every night. That's a good one.
Like, I watch the games. Like,
anybody bragging about their coaching playing days, I also enjoy that. That's a good generic
that
brag.
That one ran the gamut there. There was a lot of good ones to choose from.
Oh, yeah. We had all types.
They're all pretty good.
Yeah.
My favorite thing callers actually do, and I guess it's kind of a brag, is when you're like, hey, let's go to Stephen Boston. And then they get on the phone and go, hey, this is Stephen Boston. I love that. That's one of my favorite things. I don't think they plan to do it. I think they're like, oh, wow, I've been waiting, and now it's my turn. And then they just repeat what you said, their own name.
I think you're going to hear that from one of another Week in Review moments coming up. Right. I think so, yeah.
All right, very good. All right, we have, of course, a lot of Zoom conversation this week with Breslow maybe firing somebody via the Zoom. There was also the Zoom that Breslow and Sam Kennedy did with Red Sox reporters. We were talking a lot of Zoom.
As the meeting wrapped, his voice cut through a quiet moment. Thanks, Brez, you effing stiff, Moshi said. That's according to two team sources, June Lee reports.
Zoom gets another one.
The words landed like a grenade.
Yeah.
And Breslow fired Moshi. Moshi did not respond to requests for comment.
Although not as bad as that one guy. Remember the writer, though?
I was just going to say, if you want a Mount Rushmore of Zoom accidents,
that guy,
Jeff Toobin, is that who that
Toobin
was? He was Toobin away.
Jeff Toobin, like, we done here?
Great.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Let me get to work here.
Yeah.
So the Zoom just ended. What are you doing? Oh, no.
What are you doing?
That guy came back on the air, though. They brought him back, I think.
Toobs, he was back.
And it's like one of the most awkward interviews ever because the lady interviewing him is like, all right, we're not going to like hide from this. So she basically is like, last time we saw you, basically,
we saw all of you
going to town, treating your body like an amusement park. And he was like, what? So that's worse. That's worse. You can't really come back from that. Although this guy did lose his job for calling him a stiff. We got to play that at some point. The lady, he goes like back on CNN, and she was just like,
Anytime we can talk about Jeffrey Clean Toobin is always a reason to do it.
It's almost like not worth going back on the air just for her to like retell the story. And you're just like, yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
We gonna talk about politics or no?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah,
we're gonna shame you a little bit more.
We're talking Trump or more of my antics.
He's like, it's natural. What I was doing was natural. They're like, okay, save it. We talked a lot about this week how the Red Sox, and I know there's been some sort of, add-ons to this story about the AI conducting the interviews. Now, whether it's five straight or not, they for sure do use AI.
Oh, we're going to read an item from Alex Speer coming up where it's confirmed. Yeah.
The Red Sox use robots for job interviews, but apparently, which I did not know this until this week, So does WEEI.
Mm.
Do you have previous radio experience?
Yeah, you'd be like, listen, I you know, podcasting's a thing. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you want to work for WEEI.com.
What do you think about Ted Johnson?
What?
Okay, well, I mean, I like Ted.
He works here. Good guy.
Good teammate. Good football player.
Football player.
Sure.
Yep.
That's a good answer.
Oh, so there's a little feedback, too. Oh, I like that.
Did you know that Ted Johnson won 3 Super Bowls and had 757 career tackles?
What?
Who programmed this thing?
I knew about the Super Bowls.
I definitely knew about the Super Bowls.
I couldn't have
the specific amount of tackles.
I did not have the number of tackles.
Okay.
Are you proficient in Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel?
Sure.
Ted Johnson is.
Fine.
Ted Johnson and I once split an entire steak and cheese sub with onions and peppers.
What the hell?
He's obsessed.
It eats? There's no way it eats.
Well, maybe Ted ate most of it. An area
Ted
for that
ate
on
it
my...
all. If you were stranded on a deserted island, what 3 movies would you bring? I'd bring 3 Games to Glory, 3 Games to Glory 2, and 3 Games to Glory 3.
What?
What happened at the popcorn stand in Goffstown?
Oh, that's very specific to me.
Now that's an important question.
I don't even remember.
If I'm looking to hire Keith, that's not a satisfactory answer. I don't remember?
I don't recall.
Tell us, Rich.
Oh, it's going twice now?
I'm sorry. What is it doing?
Glitch.
Is it okay if I try to take over the world?
I don't like that. How do you respond to that? Because then you're thinking, is this a test or is this the only thing that's going to hear me right now?
Don't talk over me.
How would you answer that in an interview setting? I'd be like, well, yeah.
Yeah, probably you could.
What are your benefits?
I would think you have a good chance. You're taking over the world.
How long do I have to wait to get health insurance?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, what's your bonus structure?
Okay.
When can you start?
Oh, that's good.
Right away.
It seems like that's pretty positive.
Yeah, a little WEEAI.
I stand by my answer there. If you're taking over the world, I want to be on your
side.
Yeah,
you guys have some good points.
What kind of benefits?
Right.
What's the bonus structure?
How can I help?
How can I help? Yeah, what are you paying?
Yeah. Apparently, we were brought up on the Red Sox broadcast this week during Wednesday's game. It was Will Fleming,
Lou
Maloney on the call.
I saw tweets about this.
Yeah, people were tweeting.
I've not heard it, though. Okay, interesting.
All right, let's hear what they had to say about our show.
How many Red Sox will be in the All-Star game? What do you think?
2.
I do, too. The masses barely disagree with you. They say 1, 38%, 2 at 36, none at 19%. Those 19%, come on. 2-1 pitch is swung on a miss. Well, I mean, Garrett Crochet's not going to be an All-Star? What?
Adam Jones voted. Just kidding, Jonesy.
Here's 2. Marcelo with 1 down in the ninth inning. He takes a strike. By the way, I do enjoy Jones and Keith. They make me laugh every morning. They got a really good chemistry. They make fun of me too much, but, you know, I live with that. 0-1. Pitch is a little bit low. I like to have fun. Come on. What's wrong with oink oink when Crochet strikes out 12 Yankees?
Oink oink! Is that what your brother went on?
Yeah.
With those guys?
Yeah. He went on their show. 1-1. The pitch is down and in.
That's good. Known Rich for a long time. Love him. Those two back together again.
Well, and Rich show. Now is like the king of the City Connect jerseys. Gets them all.
Wow. They sent him one.
You going to start your own campaign?
Jeez.
A lot of good stuff in there. That's good banter. Good booth. Great booth. Like those guys.
I see Lou said, I've known Rich for a long time. I love Rich.
Yep.
Will said he listens every morning. Like, I have some little nitpicks, but largely good stuff there.
I was just talking to you about a new potential brand new segment called Is It a Compliment?
Yes.
Where we play things that people say about us, and then we have to ask, is it a compliment? There's actually a lot in there. I was not prepared for that. There's a ton in there.
Is saying I listen to Jones and Keefe every morning, is that a compliment?
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
I love Rich, and he's with Jones. Compliment for me, not for you.
Oh, no, I picked up on that for sure. No, that's compliment.
Also, he didn't get a City Connect.
Yeah.
So I wasn't alone in that. So, Lou, what are you going to do is you got to beg. You got to make videos every day, go to the mailroom,
go
and then
to
eventually
the
you will get one.
And someday, probably quicker than Rich got one, you'll get one.
Yeah, for
sure. Honestly, he might get one based on that comment. No, he might already have one. What day was that?
That was Wednesday.
Yeah, he probably has one by now based on that comment.
Who's doing the games this weekend? Did they tweet that out yet?
Oh, boy. Well, now you're
going to
get
them on the spot.
Now you're going to get them all mad.
Billy's saying Will and Lou again.
Okay, is it?
Good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think they're flying somebody. Well, I guess they're all on the same trip as you just said.
Yeah. Well, no, because you don't know if Lou's doing TV or radio. Yeah. So anyway, so that'll be very good for the first game tonight versus Devers. All right, call of the week, maybe call of the year.
Well, for you.
For me, specifically. We were talking about lobsters yesterday because there was a giant lobster who happened to take home Haas of the Week. He was re-released back into the sea, 110 years old, 21-pound lobster. then it got me talking about how I eat lobsters, because I think you brought up the question, like, hey, do you know anybody that eats, like, the little legs?
Yeah, like, everybody's like,
and
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I am that
We
guy.
All have a friend who eats the legs and, like, the little bites
friend.
Off the end of the tail. Not
all
the full tail, but, like, the little bites and the,
the,
like,
whole thing.
Yeah, and Kiva's like, I eat the whole thing.
I eat the whole lobster. Which, except for the eyeballs. I'm not that guy.
Which apparently is its own fetish.
Yeah. Well?
Yeah. Hi, gentlemen. Yes, this is Diane. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was listening about the lobster, and Keith, I do not know what you look like. I have never Googled you. I only listen to the sports.
Oh, okay.
Very handsome gentleman, I'm sure, but I didn't Google you.
She
I have my
to.
Own husband, and I know you have a wife, but I had to change the channel for a second when you were talking about what you do to the lobster.
Yeah, it's
gross. It was getting me a little hot. it was getting me a little hot.
Oh, okay.
When I
wow.
watch my husband,
yeah.
No. When I watch my husband eat lobster, it's a very nice sight, and it was sounding very similar. So that's all I wanted to contribute.
So you
I
like,
would.
You like a man that tears apart a lobster?
Yeah.
Shows his manliness.
I really do.
Wow, all
it
right.
sounds very nice.
What?
Diane, let's just say I know my way around a lobster. Let's just say that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I love watching my husband do that. Take care, guys.
Keith spells out the alphabet while he's eating it.
It's a real crowd pleaser. I was not prepared for that, but you're welcome.
I'm going to
come on. I don't know if it hurts, but I can finish a lobster in under a minute. All right, let's get to our brag of the week, shall we? This is our
was the brag of the week. Right
yeah,
there.
There's a lot of brags.
I don't even know
where we're going.
I really genuinely
this
don't.
Was, we got so we've been getting a lot of feedback as they happen live. If you check like the text line or on Twitter,
watch,
I was also getting texts to
on
my
Twitch,
phone.
There's a lot of pointing.
Whenever,
yeah, there's a lot going on. When we
this
think we
one,
have
I feel like is deserved and well said.
Okay,
I've been on San Francisco radio and stuff.
Sick brag, bro.
I've been on San Francisco radio and stuff.
And stuff. Yeah, not
what
just
the hell does that mean?
Not just San Francisco radio.
And stuff.
That's again Bragfo.
Yep. Bragfo.
Rob Bragford.
Rob Bragford.
Twitch chat was saying Keith getting a girl to come back to his room should have been brag.
It was.
That's a real candidate.
She left pretty quickly, so the brag ends there.
Oh, quickly though.
One whiff of the
quickly
Sharpies and pizza. She was like, what is this in here? Is this a trap?
The random amount of times girls would ever come back to my room, they always left quickly.
They go, whoops, wrong room. Sorry. Can you tell me where the bathroom is?
Yeah, it's down,
it's down the hall.
It's
down the hall.
Here. It's not in here. That's the week in review. Every Friday.
I've been on San Francisco radio and stuff.
Sick brag, bro.
And stuff.
Yeah. You think I only go on San Francisco?
Yeah, no, guys, I've been all over.
No, guys.
Oh, by the way, there was a dude on Eduardo Perez. You see that today? On MLB Network.
Shirt.
Rocking
I did see
a
that.
Baseball isn't boring shirt.
Hey, look, if you're ever wondering
taking
who's
over.
If you're ever wondering if there are people out there wearing baseball isn't boring t-shirts, just go to @Bradfo on Twitter. It'll be up within seconds. It'll be
that's
up. Your head will spin.
It's a nice
how
shirt,
quickly it's up there. Yeah. No, he tracks it.
It's a nice shirt.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days.
It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.